I'd like to open your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And in our study of Jeremiah, which is very relevant to our present day in the world and in the nation. And here's Jeremiah going through the process of being a servant, being a prophet, representing God to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And in doing so, he does so for several years, actually. And therefore, and they don't like him at all. And the days are they're uncooperative, they are unthankful. They don't listen. They don't want to hear him. They're going to put him in prison. They're trying to kill him, etc. And so, therefore, the whole situation is very difficult. It is very demanding, draining, and great stress, distress. And the human environment is not good. It's false. There's a false hope, false help. No peace at all. And therefore, the whole environment that he's in, compared, as we shared, to Daniel and Ezekiel, which are going to be over in Babylon, he lives in the middle of the thick and thin of it. He lives right in the middle of it, day in and day out. That's what he lives in. And that is a very draining time, because he's there having to face all of the atmosphere that is negative, and trying to present, and God is in his heart dealing with him and ministering, and God's message is very positive and extremely negative, because he tells them that if they don't fix it, they're not going to survive. And of course, they aren't going to fix it, so it's very, very difficult. So here's Jeremiah, and he's being educated. God in his great movement of anything. God doing big things with angels, big things in the world, with nations. But bottom line, God's, like think of Chronicles, God looks for a man or woman, a boy or girl. One of them. That's who he looks for. Say, boy, no it isn't. Just about, if he can find a boy or girl, a man or woman, that will look to him. That's all. They say, well, there are big things. But the big things are all there and outworking. But the bottom line is he's looking for the man or woman, a boy or girl, that he can get to. Now, hang on to that. Now, so here's Jeremiah 73. Psalm 73. And in Psalm 73, I'm going to give you the atmosphere. Here's a believing heart facing what Jeremiah does. And he's going to spell it out for us that will be helpful in understanding Jeremiah. And therefore, Psalm 73, just reading verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. But I was envious at the foolish, when I saw what? The prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They just day in and day out, live, die, no problem. Verse 5. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth about them as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than their heart could wish. So remember we shared with Jeremiah, they're all mocking, merrymaking, and Jeremiah just doesn't fit in. It's a whole other realm. And Jeremiah is having to live in that. Now, hang on to that. Now, in the light of that, back over to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 15. Remember now, he loses it for a moment. And verse 18, my pain, why is my pain perpetual, my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, a dried up brook, as water that fails when I go to the get it, it isn't there, I can't count on it? God, what happened? Here I am, and things keep going the same old way, and no one seems to change. I give the same thing, and each time it's a little firmer, harder, more straightforward. They ought to get the message. They aren't. And boy, God, where are you in this? Now, it isn't for them, because we already read about that a little earlier. What is it about for Jeremiah? Jeremiah is trying to exercise a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God without God. And how are you going to do that? How are you going to have the sustaining power? How are you going to have the refreshment? You're giving out water. You're giving out everything out of your life. And no one's putting it back in. No one cares to put it back in. So it all comes out of you, comes out of you, comes out and draining, 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 draining. And if you don't put any back in, you run out. Just like in your body, if there's certain things in your, depending on your body and everything, there's certain things chemically, and if a certain chemical is missing, and God has made the body so wonderful, but that chemical, you only can have it miss year one, 10 years it could be missing, 15 years it could be missing. And its absence shows up in the 16th year. God made the body to survive and succeed. But the 16th year, the chemical is depleted. And now you've got a problem that you can't diagnose. Where did it come from? It came from that chemical that you didn't realize was missing. And you've gone all these years, and no one ever said anything about the chemical. Wow. Now, so in time, if it keeps going and going and going and going, you keep getting drained. And that's what Jeremiah is doing. So he has to understand how he can stay, be sustained, and survive in when that happens. So God never asked you to have anything put in by anybody. God, in his wonderful grace, gave the believing heart a fullness. And the fullness is based on the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that fullness never runs out. So if I'm abiding in Christ, if I'm resting without him, he said, well, I can do nothing. If I understand that, I never run out. I can never run out, ever. And no one has to love me, care about me, work has to look good, the kids have to look good, people have to be, no, they don't have to do anything. You're able to be sufficient, content. I'll never leave thee, like we see at Sunday. I'll never leave thee, never, 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 nor forsake thee. It'll never happen. You'll be like a tree planted by the river, and you'll never run dry. No matter famine, flood, fire, never run out. Jeremiah, you have to learn that. We have to understand it. Now, so therefore, chapter 6 of Jeremiah. And in chapter 6, may I pick up, I'm looking for a word in the context as we did it. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. This is back in the days of Josiah. Stand ye in the ways and seek and see and ask, A-S-K, for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But, they said, we will not walk therein. Verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye, O nations, and know, ye congregation, what is among you, them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. So here they are. So we gave you that kind of, here's Jeremiah in the middle of this. Now I'm looking at this little word God gave them. This is in the days of Jeremiah, going to line up the kings that Jeremiah lives in, works with. And in verse 16, chapter 6, stand ye in the way, and see and ask for the old paths. Ask. I want you to ask me for the old paths. That's what I want you to do. Now, that's all gone by. But if you ask, I would like to make them all possible again. They're all gone. No, they are gone. But I would bring them back in the right kind of way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So God, you're going to make that possible? Uh-huh, I am. All you're going to do is ask. I want you to ask for them. Now, that little word ask is to penetrate. It means to penetrate something. You would put the needle into the skin. You would press, urge, penetrate, speak. It means to say something penetratingly, urging, pressing the point. Ask me. Now, being Christmas season, over if you would to Isaiah. Isaiah and chapter 7. In Isaiah chapter 7, picking up thought, if I may. Now we're going back 100 years. We're going to go backward. Here's Jeremiah and Jeremiah 6. We're going to go back a whole 100 years to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, you'll remember, it's Christmas kind of thing. And I'll pick up, if I can, in verse 14. 7 and 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. We did that Sunday morning. Now, in the light of the context, here's Ahaz. And Ahaz has got a problem, because remember chapter 7, verse 1, 7, 1, the king of Syria and the king of Israel are going to go to war against Ahaz in Jerusalem. They're going to go to war. And God tells Ahaz to be of good, by way of Isaiah, be of good cheer, no problem, you're going to trust God, etc., etc. Now, in the process of that, Ahaz, are you going to look to God? And I'll read verse to pick up a little context. Chapter 7, verse 6. Let us go against Judah and fix it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. So it is God gives them, the enemy wants to, is convinced and determined to do what it does. And God said, no, they aren't going to do it. And Ahaz needed, it was given confirmation. And therefore, picking up, if I can, in verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask, there's your little word, verb, a command, ask, that's the word you just looked at, ask for the old pass, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth, all the way to Sheol, down below, or the height above to the highest heaven. Now God said, you just ask. Now you have to just, I want you to get a little bit on that. Now remember now, he's asking them to ask. And Ahaz, now what are the limitations of asking? That's my question. What kind of limitations did God put on the wonderful opportunity for Ahaz to ask God for anything? What do you want, to move the sun like Joshua? Sun, stand thou still? Well, what would you like? And God gave that. Now, that's pretty big. I can't even help you with it. Do you understand the immensity of that request? Ask me anything from down below all the way up above, and think of everything that exists in the material world. And Ahaz could ask anything. That's awesome. If I didn't give anyone else, but I want to lock that in. I want to lock that in to my little heart. God, you mean that. Absolutely. In fact, Ahaz, you dummy, you plain dummy. Verse 11, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, there's your word, neither will I tempt the Lord. God said, I'm not going to ask. Ahaz said, I'm not going to bother you, God. God, I'm not going to bother you at all. I have what I wished that I would have, how I want it. And however you want it, God, you do it. But I'm going to be what I am and do what I do. And I think like I do about the enemy, about life, about how to win, how to lose, how to survive. And I'm not going to ask you anything. And now, verse 13. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Now God doesn't speak to Ahaz. He speaks to the whole house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? And Isaiah says, are you going to make God be tired of you? He said, ask anything from up as high as you can go, to the depths of the underneath the on the bottom of the sea. Ask anything in the world. Now, if you were given that, you'd have to think, wouldn't you have to think hard on what on earth would you ask? The immensity of that space. What on earth would you ask? And you have to lay in bed tonight and try to think, what on earth would you ask God to do? He would have done it. He would have done it. Now, hang on to that. Now, in the light of that, and God, so God, you're going to show them a sign. That's why the Virgin Mary is given as a sign to them. And now, in the light of that, over to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45. The world has such a puny view of God. Terrible view, actually. And the church, unfortunately, has not much of one. Isaiah 45. May I pick up? In Isaiah 45, what's the problem? Well, the problem is, that God makes a wonderful prediction that he's going to go, chapter 45, verse 5. I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Remember, this is a great promise of Cyrus. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that is the whole east and west, the whole world, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now, that wonderful, I'm going to go and reach the world. Now, here they are listening, remember now, because they got a problem without doing all the context. Down in verse 10, woe unto him that which saith unto his father, a son talking to his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? In other words, here's a son talking to his father about something the child has brought forth, and the son says, what on earth have you done, Dad? What have you done? What have you done? Now, Israel, to God. God, what have you done? Including all of the nations? What kind? And here's Cyrus. Cyrus is a Gentile. And he's the only Gent person that gets the name Messiah. He's called the Anointed, God's Anointed One. He's a Gentile. We're Jews. Here's all the what are all the nations doing? What kind of thing is this? What happened to our specialness? Our specialness. You got it? That's the context. Now, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. Ask, there's your little verb, ask me, it's a command, ask me, penetrate, push, urge, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Now, how can you get better than that? God, you can't do that with nations. God said, hey, you have no idea what I can do. Now ask me what I'm going to do. What am I capable of doing? From the height of the heavens to the bottom of the sea. Anything. Ask me. No. We don't believe any God can be that. But he said, I am God. I'm the only one and the only Savior. And so here they are. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And in Isaiah 55, I want to add another word now that will help us. 55, may I pick up, please, in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, that's just the same thing. I ask you to return to the old paths, Jeremiah 6 and 16. I asked you to do it. I asked you to ask me, Ahaz. I ask you, Israel, ask me. Yeah, you guys don't understand. I'm doing what I'm doing. And you need to understand I'm doing it, not you. I'm doing it. It's mine. And thus the word thoughts in verse 7 is now, and I'll pardon. Now verse 8, my thoughts, said God, there's your little word, my thoughts. The word thought is the word of using it to, if you had a cloth texture, and you take the cloth and weave it into a garment. You take something and weave it into a product, a garment, a weaving. Wow, that's the word thought, a weaving of ideas. A weaving of the mind, thought, like a garment, making a garment. Wow. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My garments
are not yours. My plans are not yours. Now, and thus in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. There they are. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See. Now I told you, Ahaz, ask anything from the depths of the sea, Sheol itself, all the way to the highest heaven. Go ahead, ask. Ask. Well, who am I supposed to ask? You're asking me, said God. Said, I told you to ask me. And say, well, I don't understand. It can't be. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So don't tell me what I can't do. Don't give me instructions of what I can't do or what I won't do. I'll do what I what is right to do. So now, having said that, and thus we want to catch in verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So God said, listen, what I'm going to do. So Jeremiah, Ahaz, all of you, everyone, listen, give God some space. Don't tell God how to think. Don't tell God how to act. Don't tell God what he has to do or don't do. Or don't, God, you shouldn't have let that happen. You can't tell God that because you have no idea of 7 zillion pieces that go to the puzzle. And so we all quiet, quiet, be still and know that I am God. Wow. Now, having said that little bit in Isaiah, go over with me, please, to pick up the thought in Psalm 90. Psalm 90, if I can, in verse 2. Well, no, I'm going to skip down for time's sake. Verse 5. O Lord, how great are thy works and thy thoughts, there's your little word, weaving, my thought, my plan, my purpose, my intention. My thoughts are very deep. Thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man, stupid man, knoweth not. Neither doth a fool understand this. Ah, but God, so that God says, I don't want you to be a fool. Understand who I am. My ways and my thoughts are higher than the heavens. Therefore, you ought to honor them. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. You know, all I'm doing is running it so you see it. Weaving the pattern so you have it. I got it. I got it, God. Higher than the heavens. Wow. It's an awesome thing. Wow. Psalm 40, picking up, if I may, in verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, here's David, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And thy thoughts, your thoughts, God, which are higher than the heavens, we just read that, which are to usward in our direction, they cannot be reckoned up, calculated, computed, up in order unto thee. If I were to declare, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God, they're more than can be numbered. And sacrifice and offering, etc. I would, but no. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God, my God. Yea, my law, thy law is within my heart, and God, and therefore it's God, we're looking, to, reading, getting the thought. So my thoughts to you are more than can be numbered. And what about my thoughts? Well, my thoughts are higher than the heavens and deeper than the sea. And I told you, Ahaz, to ask, but you didn't. Israel, I told you to ask, but you didn't. Jeremiah, they need to ask. And Jeremiah, you need to ask. Jeremiah, you do. Don't lose out. Don't minimize. Don't reduce me down to man-sized. Don't do that. The people don't want me. The people shrink and eliminate me. That's the wrong thing to do. You have to understand God, Jeremiah, God, about God, that his ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens. And there's nothing, God, you can't do. Wow. And if we just leave you alone, you'll work it all out. Aha, that's right. Now, over, if you would, Psalm 139. Our thoughts, and just tying it again. Psalm 139, please. Picking up, if I may. In verse 2, I'll read verse 1 and 2. David, remember, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my sitting down sitting, and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God, you already know what I think. Verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. There's your word. O God, how great is the sum of them. God, your thoughts to me are more than the sand of the sea. That's right. And your thoughts about me aren't like my thoughts. They aren't like anyone's thoughts. It isn't like anything we can even conceive. God, your thoughts belong to you. And all of the heavens and all of the earth brought together. There's no anything we could ask is nothing to you. You threw the stars into space just like that. God, there's nothing. So God, we have to appreciate you. You're a wonderful person. Your wonderful presence. Beyond all that we can ask or think. God, we've got you down to be about man-sized, but a little higher than the ceiling. God, you're not like that. You aren't like a little genie, a dwarf, an elf, a leprechaun. No, not like that at all. So now, and down, sliding down while we're here, verse 23, 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. God, yeah, you have to help me. My little dumb mind, I'm going to lose it. Ahaz, why didn't you pay attention and just look to me? And I would have done whatever. And I did it anyway because you didn't believe and Israel didn't believe. But God, he did a most wonderful thing to show his wonderful, the birth of a Savior that was going to happen in a most wonderful way. Now, over having said that little bit, over if you would please, in your Bible, over to John, the Gospel of John. Gospel of John and chapter 14. Chapter 14. And just to remind you now, and then we'll try to put it together. John 14, in the upper room, the Lord's going to leave him. Going to leave, going to be resurrected, they're going to be left all alone in the world. They're going to be persecuted, pressured, killed. Just like Jeremiah, only now they're in the world, they represent him. And the world hated him and they're going to hate them. And the world is after them. Unless they compromise. Each time the church compromises with the world will let up. But then we're losing the light and choosing the darkness. And we end up in the darkness. So we don't want to do that. So hey, God, what are you going to say in the upper room? What did you say to Ahaz? What did you say to Israel and Isaiah? What did you say to them? Chapter 14, verse 13. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, the A-S-K, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask, there's your little word, anything in my name, I will do it. Wow, how could you miss? God said, listen, I'm trying to tell you something. If you ask anything, what did you ask Ahab? From the sky to the bottom, the highest, anywhere. Ask me. Wow. Now, God, that's what you said. You said to ask. You did. And, over now to 1 John, keeping in mind, you can do this different way of just doing it this way. 1 John chapter 5, and picking up if I can, in verse 14, just reminding you in the light of all of this, because I think if you can grab the grandeur of what God has just said, I bet you if you had 1,000 believers and you lined them all up, they'd all miss it. I wish they didn't, but they probably would. God just said, listen, do you know how big I am? And do you know how much I can do? Ask me anything. And understand, anything means anything. In my name. I bet you they couldn't do it. No. It just isn't around. No. No, God, we've shrunk you down in our system. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, according to His will, He heareth us, is always going to hear us, whatever you ask in my name, ask in His will. If we know, that's what you read in Psalm 40, etc. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So, no, God, we ask for Your will, and that's what we want. God, You choose it. You choose the sign. Now, Ahaz could have said that, but they did. And the children of Israel could have said in Isaiah 45, God, if all the nations are involved, would You help us understand that? But they didn't do that either. I didn't do that. If you ask anything in my name, in my will, I will do it. I will just plain do it. That's all. Over, if you would, over there again. Mark and chapter 11. And in Mark chapter 11, reminding us, and in the light of what we're doing, especially, Mark 11, verse 24. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. Let God be your inspiration. Let God's word be your stimulation. Look to God. Mark 11 and 22. Looking to God. Wow. For reason, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So what we just read in 1 John 5, if we believe, we want His will, on a moment, day-by-day basis. Jeremiah, what are you going to ask? I need God's wonderful will outworked in my life to have all the supply, all the sufficiency I need to go in another day, another week, another year. That's what I need. I'm not trying to get out of anything. Remember Jeremiah, Job didn't do that. Job didn't say how long. Job just wanted to get the message of why. And when he got the message, he said, now these things are too wonderful for me to understand this. And then God healed him. See? He didn't have any thought of getting healed. He didn't have any thought of getting helped. The whole my thing changed. No. What the wonderment, God? I just needed to understand. And wow. Thus, whenever you ask in my name, and I do it. Over to Luke 17, one other place. A little different, help us. Luke 17. And picking up, if I can, in Luke 17, picking up in verse 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Well, they wanted to just have more, able to believe God. And then God said, remember, and the Lord said in the context of that, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Just a little mustard seed. We just had a big, how big a faith? So you'd ask yourself, how big is your faith? What size is your faith? I don't know. What size is it? Is it big as that eraser? How's that? Is your faith as big as that eraser? I know you can't see it back there. That's the whole point. It's pretty small. Is your faith that big? That's the question. Well, so God, we believe. Well, how much do you believe? Well, I believe you're God. That's good. That's a starting point. How much do you believe? See, what do you believe? Look at all these things in your life that you're trying to work out and play with and fool with mentally and maneuvering and managing and all this stuff. Wow. Now, I'm working on it with your little mind. Uh-huh. With your little mind. Little mind. Brutish mind. And you're trying to work it out. There's nothing wrong with that, except you don't have any light in and by yourself. And the flesh profiteth nothing. So it ain't going to work. And so here we are. We're losing out. What are we losing out for? On the greatness of thyself. The wonderful greatness of yourself. Wow. Wow. Now, and if you just had the faith of a grain of mustard seed. All right. Over, if you would, please. Over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, you remember, God wants us to have good eyesight mentally, spiritually. And therefore, Ephesians 1 and 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, God's calling, not yours or mine, what he has in mind. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you, if you're saved. Now, you want that one? Figure that one out. How many riches does he find? If he go down and open the door and go down in and try to find diamonds and pearls and stuff, how much is he going to find down there in the saint, in the heart of the saint? There is a wealth. How much is in you? And if the Lord tarries and we live, and I hope he doesn't, Sunday, this is going to lead 1, 2, 3, boom, to get it all together. Wow. This is part one. Understand how big I am. Wow. And, now you got that part, the wealth. Now, God, here we are sitting assembled together as your word on as an assembled body of believers. Over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians in chapter 3. And you'll hit the lovely, lovely section. I'll pick up just a bit of context. Verse 19. We know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. That means we can't understand it. So sit there. You're going to sit there and say, I don't understand how anything can be that big or that high. Good. Good. That means you're understanding something. You're understanding you can't understand. Now, if you didn't miss get that, think back to our little thing we're putting on notice. Of the 2 trillion galaxies, tell me, when you go out tonight, I want you to take a good long look, assuming there's no cloud there, and tell me, how do you comprehend 6 trillion galaxies? with your mind? You're looking up? Tell me how much you understand with your mind. 6 trillion galaxies. You don't know. God said, good. I'm trying to help you. You're trying to know. I got to know. No, you can't know because it's beyond knowing. And that's because you're dealing with God. So stop trying to know everything. And then you'll start knowing something. Do you understand? Did that come out all right? Stop trying to know everything. It's beyond. Beyond. The peace of God, which what? Passes all understanding. Then you, if I just have peace, how could you possibly, if you're sitting there waiting to feel it, understand it, it's never going to happen. You want to know God's love. If you just have love, what's love? See. If I said, I wouldn't say it, but if I said to my wife, I wouldn't say it, of course. I love you. Where are you? Did you get that? That's for the whole year now. That's just words. The concept of that commitment, that's a whole other world. There's no way to translate it. There's no way to put it on a piece of paper. Do you understand? And we're to love in God's love. That's why it's like that. There's no way to put it together. Wow, that's right. Now, glorious, I don't want to quit. Verse 20. Now unto him, unto God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above, all, exceeding abundantly above all, that we, A-S-K, ask or think, according to the power that is working inside of you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. More than you can think. He has asked me. No, I don't, God. No, we're not going to ask. No. God, and we have a little plan. We asked you, God, you didn't do it. So therefore, God, see if I ask you again. In fact, I asked you for 4 years, and you never did it. Well, what were you asking for? For something, for what? If it's in his will, then you already had it the day that you what? The day that you asked for it, you had it. Didn't you want his will 4 years from now? Make believe. Then you have it. And you work your way there, and you already have it. Above all that we ask or think. That's awesome. God said, don't think like I do. And you understand what I tell you. I'm telling you to ask and then stand, get out of the way, and let me be immensely, awesomely who I am. If you don't mind. Wow. Jeremiah, are you going to, because Jeremiah's going to learn. Oh, he is. But boy, it doesn't come cheap. It doesn't come cheap. I could say what I said, and I understand a little. I feel all that. It's awesome to me. It hasn't even got as awesome as it will be. But it is awesome. So anything. God, I have no problem in any way, shape, or form that I know of. I'm willing to go. Wow. You have to learn that. But if I don't help you and communicate to you and you communicate to me likewise, the truth of it, we're never even going to pursue it because we don't even think it exists. And it exists. Then shoot for it. Go for it. You say, well, I don't know. Then you have to get there. Like Jeremiah. You have to get there.
And then you live your little life in an ordinary way, extraordinary way. Wow. Wow. It's an awesome thing. No? When you go out, take a look up. I don't know, I hope there's no clouds. Look at the sky, and then look down the ground, and make believe you had see-through eyes, and get down about 4,000 feet to the middle. It's 8,000 across. Isn't 8,000 across? Miles. You people that live in the middle of the earth, what is it down there? 8,000 miles. And imagine, God said anything. And then you look up and say, wow. Wow. Anyway, you may have a particular request as we go into prayer, and I trust you got a little bit, and be encouraged marvelously.